Be with you again this morning. A few weeks back, sorry about that. A few weeks back, we suggested that we could contemplate how to prepare to meet God in 2021. It's a good year to meet the Lord. Any time would be a good time to meet the Lord, but you should plan as though you have 100 years and live every day as though it were the last day. But let's just suppose the Lord is coming, and we're trying to give you some scriptural advice as to what you can do to plan to meet God in 2021. Now, I've taken two little words from our English translation, and those two words are the words, take heed, take heed. Now, these are the warning buzzards, okay? These are the flags are flying and the lights are flashing, and there's all kind of things. Caution, caution, beware, be on guard, be careful. What you do, how you do it, what you say, where you go, because this year just may be the year. This day just may be the day. This, I might not even get through with this message. Who knows when Jesus is coming or where, when we are going. But we suggested that those two words, take heed, appear about 135 times in our New Testament. So they're fairly important words. Now, I don't want to be, redundant, but remember the first verse I showed you that would give you an emphasis of that word, how to look at that word. And it's not a verse that I often turn to, especially for this, for a definition. But we're not going to turn there this morning. I'm just going to reference that verse for you. If you're taking notes, it's Matthew 5 and 28. But the Lord Jesus to lust after her, he has committed adultery in his heart. You say, well, where's the word take heed? It's in the word looks. There's our word. It's a Greek word, but it's translated look, looks on a woman. Now, think about it this way. If a man takes heed on a woman, that's the thought. In other words, to look, to see, to give special attention, to look intently, earnest, contemplation, to turn the attention from one thing to something else. If a man does that to a woman, that's wrong. You shouldn't do that. He's saying he's already committed adultery in his heart. Now, I'm not here to even preach on that. That's a side issue. But the word take heed, that is what I want you to remember. Look intently, evaluate, give special attention to it. Beware, be on guard. That's the emphasis. So in order to prepare yourself to meet God, and everybody will, you remember that? It's appointed unto man once to die, and then you go meet God. You remember that verse? Appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. Guess who sits on the judgment seat? Guess who sits on the great white throne? Well, it's none other than Jesus Christ, the Lord himself. I mean, even Jesus said, the Father judges no man, but has committed all judgment unto the Son. Well, you're going to meet Jesus Christ. You have a divine appointment to meet him. You just want to be ready when you meet him. And so we suggested in preparing to meet your God, we took some of our take heed verses. And the first time we looked at it was take heed how you hear and what you hear. This is under the umbrella of take heed for salvation. I mean, you're not ready to meet God if you're not saved. I can tell you that. I mean, I mean, I could even go this far. Some Christians are not ready to meet God, and they are saved. And so we have to be really, really careful. There is an evaluation coming for the Christian. That's called the judgment seat of Christ. There is judgment, and those whose names are not found written in the book of life, they're cast into the lake of fire. So you need to, this is foundational. You've got to take heed for salvation. That's number one. That's most important. That's significantly important. It's the greatest decision you will ever make on earth. That nothing can top it. It is the big one. You need to trust Christ as your Savior. And I wish I could do that for you. I can't. You need to see yourself as the sinner, and you need to agree with God that there's only one mediator between you and God, and his name is Jesus. There's only one way to ever get to heaven, one way to ever meet God, and his name is Jesus. There's only one name given among men under heaven whereby you must be saved. Guess what his name is? His name is Jesus. One foundation. It goes on and on, but you need Christ. So get preparing to meet God in 2021. You got to prepare for salvation. Get saved. Trust Christ as your Savior. And then nextly, we talked about take heed to yourself. Now, this would be to a believer, okay, to a person who has trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. Take heed to yourself, Paul wrote to Timothy. And from this thought, we placed another theme, a broader theme. If I'm going to prepare to meet God, I need to be saved. Number two, I need to be, are you with me? Sanctified. That's our big word. Set apart. Be holy, God says, because I'm holy. Doesn't mean be perfect. God is. We're not. He's not going to ask you to do anything that you can't do. You can't be perfect right now. He knows that. He's helping you. That's your goal. But he wants you to be holy. He wants you to be set apart for God. That we can do by the grace of God. And we continue to grow in holiness, presenting your bodies a living sacrifice to God, which is your reasonable service, holy, acceptable unto God. If any of us, and all of us that know the Lord, should want to serve the Lord, you have to get saved to serve the Lord. But let me suggest you need to be set apart. That is, God is looking for clean vessels to use. He's looking for a clean mind and a clean mouth and a clean heart and clean hands and clean feet and a clean life, and present your bodies acceptable to God. And then God says, I got a job for you. I want you to serve me. To every Christian, God has given spiritual gifts, talents, abilities to serve him. Now, I don't know how many people I got on my screen here this morning, but if the people that I'm looking at, if you happen to be a Christian, and I see many of you are that I know, then every one of you has a gift from God so that you can serve him. He's given you all that pertains to life and godliness. He's given you a gift, given you a spiritual talent, an ability. And he wants you to take that gift, that talent, that ability, and he wants you to serve him. So think about it. We got three take heeds. Take heed for salvation. Take heed for sanctification. I want to have clean hands. God never accepts any kind of a sacrifice. It's always the best, the one without spot, without blemish. And that's what he wants you to be to him, a living sacrifice to him. And then he says, okay, we're ready to work now. You've cleaned up your heart. You've cleaned up your hands. You're ready for work. and we talked about serving the Lord. And in doing so, we were reminded that as we serve the Lord, we're building on the foundation of Jesus Christ. And the Lord's given us some building materials. He's given us lots of things. 2 Peter chapter 1, he's given us a list of 7 things that we can actually build on the foundation of faith in Jesus Christ himself. And also in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he talks about building on the foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble. You can only imagine things made out of wood, hay, or stubble are not eternal. They're only temporary. They're very vulnerable to fire. And one day at the end of our life, the Lord is going to review our life. It's called the Bema seat, the judgment seat of Christ. And as he reviews our life, it says the day will declare it. It will be revealed by fire what sort it is. Okay. So motives now, not how much, not how big, not how public, but what did you do for Jesus? Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And that's a category you want in. Take heed how you build on this. Now, today we're going to take another take heed. And if you have a Bible, it's going to be found in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Now, we'll remind you while you're turning there that the Lord Jesus said in a context of his return, he says, take heed. You remember how significant that word is? You know, special attention, turn away from other things. Notice what's going on, bells, flags, buzzers, lights, okay? He said, take heed that no man deceive you. Uh-oh. Oh, well. You mean people are trying to deceive us? Yes, there's a whole world out there. It's called the world. Are you listening? The flesh. That's the old us. Okay, the old Joe, the world, the flesh, and the enemy of your soul, Satan, the devil himself. 3 enemies, you know. The world's on the outside, the devil's on the outside, but the flesh is on the inside. The admonition is, take heed that no one deceive you. There's a mean world out there. There's a deceiving world out there. And we need to be very, very careful. Now, here's our warning today. Our warning buzzer today is found in verse 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Now, first of all, order to understand any Bible verse, you know, sometimes we say, well, I'll tell you what it means to me. Great. Wonderful. Someone else says, well, I'll tell you what it means to me. Now we got 2 what it means to me, but they don't agree. And so there's lots of application, but there's only one interpretation of God's word. In order to get what it really means, whether it's to you or to me or anybody else, what God intended for it to mean, we always have to read a passage in its context. The verses around it, in it, through it, before it, after it, all around, this kind of thing. So, first question I'd ask myself is, therefore let him who thinks he stand take heed lest he fall. Who's he writing to? Who is this to? Is this to Leroy? Is this to the Jews? Is this to the Gentiles? Is this to Catholics? Is this to Protestants? Who's the writer writing to? What is God saying? Take heed lest you fall. Who's he talking to? Okay. Now, glad you asked. Go back to chapter 1. We're in the book of 1 Corinthians. Go back to chapter 1. Notice verse number 2. This is who he's writing to in 1 Corinthians. chapter 1, verse 2, writing to the church of God. Now, let me pause. That's not the church of God that's down the road with a sign over the church saying church of God. It's not charismatic. It's not Pentecostal. It's not. It's the church of God. And that means any person anywhere on the globe who puts their faith in Jesus Christ is in the church of God. It is invisible. It is not on the corner. It's not, it has no steeples. It has no crosses. It has no stained glass windows. It's called the church of God in the Bible. A believer in Christ to the church of God, which is at Corinth. Now that's wherever the Christians were meeting. Might have been in a barn, might have been out in the field, it might have been in somebody's house. I don't know. But he said, I'm writing to the church of God, which is at Corinth. Now notice, to those who are sanctified. We just talked about that, didn't we? Sanctified in Christ Jesus. Notice what else they're called. Called to be saints. Oh my. Now, let me tell you something. You don't have to do this, but if you wanted to call me Saint Joe, you could do that. I'm all right with that, okay? It's not really a name I go by, but I tell you why. The word saint and the word sanctified come from the same word, and it means those who have placed their faith in Christ. You are unique only in that you have trusted Christ. Saints are not big saints, little saints, stained window saints, statue saints, memorial saints. No, it's just saints, just sinners saved by grace, set apart. Their life now has changed. They're set apart to God. This is who he's writing to, the church of God. Who is that? Well, those that are sanctified. Well, who is that? Well, they're called to be saints. Oh, so this is just for those 2,000 years ago at Corinth. No. Keep reading. With all who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. Who's this writing to in chapter 10? Anybody that's a Christian. Anybody who's placed their faith in Christ. They are set apart for God, sanctified. They're called saints, set apart for God. They're called the church of God. That's who he's writing to. Now go back to chapter 10. So when we read verse 12, therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed. Let me tell you who thinks he stands, who he is. Christian. That's a Christian. That's a person who has put their faith in Jesus Christ. It is a person who says, I've been born again. I am the sinner. Jesus is the Savior. He died for me. He was buried for me. He rose again for me. I put my faith in him. I've been born again. I've got a new life. I'm in the family of God. I've got a new future. Things have changed. I'm not who I was. I am a different person inside because Christ lives in me now in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, he says, therefore, let him who thinks he stands. That's that person. Oh, it's that person. You mean a Christian who thinks he stands? Yeah, watch. You need to take heed for salvation. You need to take heed for sanctification. You need to take heed for service. And you need to take heed for standing. You say, well, what is that? Take heed who thinks he stands. All right, well, if we're going to understand this, we got to understand the context. See the first word of verse 12, therefore. Now, you've heard me say this, you're tired of it, but I'm going to say it again. When you see therefore in the scriptures, you need to know what the therefore is there for. I don't know if you can translate that into Chinese or not, but here we go. context, okay, context. Watch it. What is going on? Why did he say therefore? Well, if you go back to verse 5, chapter 10, notice, But with most of them, God was not well pleased. Most of who? Israel in the wilderness, way back, Old Testament, hundreds of years ago. Most of them God was not well pleased, for their bodies are scattered in the wilderness. Verse 6. Now these things became our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted, and do not become idolaters, as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality, as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 died. Verse 9, neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents, nor complain, as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now, all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore, you get it? What were the warnings? You picked them up. They're examples. All that in the Old Testament all happened to those people. God says, please turn your ears on. Please open your eyes. Please put your brain in gear. Think about this. Examples. They lusted after evil things. They were idolaters. They committed sexual immorality. They tempted Christ. They were complainers, and they were examples again. Dear friend, let me say, you probably have looked around and found out that in life, there are a lot of examples that teach you, okay? You have a friend, you have a family member, know somebody that did something really, really stupid, and you go, oh boy, I'm glad I didn't do that. I'm telling you, they did that and it got them in a lot of trouble. I am not going to do that. That's what the verse is all about. You had a wife or a husband or a mother or father or a child or somebody, and they did something really stupid and they really got in trouble, or it's still affecting them today in their life. What's the example? Don't do it. Don't do that. In our examples, don't worship idols. You say, oh, I don't have any idols in my house. Yeah, right. Right. You got any things? You got any money? You got any hobbies? You got any sports? Where do you default? When nobody's looking, where do you go? What do you do? When the door is closed and the drapes are pulled and nobody's around, what do you turn on? What do you watch? What do you see? What are you spending your time at? Don't become idol worshipers. It might be sticks and bricks, your big house, might be your shiny car, might be electronics, might be movies, it might be life, it could be health, it could be wealth. I don't know what it is, but don't worship it. These people got in trouble. Don't be sexually immoral. And you know the verse we started with? You don't even have to do it. You got to think it. The recording angel puts it on your account. Adultery. What do you mean? Yeah, that's what I mean. Adultery. Well, I didn't do it. Yes, you did. You did it in your mind, and it was in your heart, and so guess what? It's on your account. Tempt Christ. You don't believe Christ. You ridicule him. You shame him. Complain. Oh, you say, well, I'm not really a complainer? I wonder how many times in a day we complain. Why don't you try that sometime? Just say, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to make a list of all the times I complain in one day. I bet you'd be so careful you wouldn't have any complaints that day. But when you're not writing down the list, that's what the problem is. It just comes out of our mouth, complainers. Anyhow, they were for our example and for our admonition. Therefore, verse 12, let the one who thinks he stands take heed. I'm not going to do it. I don't even want to do it, but I'll tell you what I can do. I could give you a list of real people, real names, real circumstances of life, Christians, okay, Christians now, are you ready? Who never thought they would fall from their walk with Jesus. And today, they're not walking with Jesus anymore. They're making excuses now. They're justifying their actions now. I had a friend, a longtime friend. I don't even know where he is today. He and I knew one another before we got saved. And then he and I both got saved about the same time. And we went on for God. But somewhere along the line, he forgot that he was vulnerable. He forgot that he could still be tempted. He thought he was strong. He thought he didn't have any trouble. He thought that things will go okay for me. That man has lost everything. He lost his wife. He lost his family. He's lost his testimony. He's in bad shape, like really bad shape. The warning is, Israel in the Old Testament made some really bad decisions. And they got judged. Every one of those decisions, you go back and read it. Judgment, 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 punishment, chastising of the Lord. They got it, they got it, they got it. And he said, now look, don't you do that. Let the one who thinks he stands. These people thought we're the people of God. We've got it together. We can do anything. We're strong. We're not vulnerable. Yes, they are. Yes, you are. And dear friend, let me tell you something. You don't have to be 16 to be vulnerable. I can tell you that. We are vulnerable at any age. You say, well, I've been saved 40, 50, 60. I've been saved 70 years now. I'm good to go. No, you're not. You're not good to go. You're good to fall, that attitude. You think you stand. You think you're strong enough. You think you're mature enough. You think you know enough. You see, as soon as we start relying on us and thinking about us, then our gaze is off of the Lord. We are now moving in our own strength and our own success and our own ability. I mean, think about it. How many preachers do you know that failed? God forbid, I would never say I got it together. I can tell you that. Because I know too many preachers that have fallen. Oh, everybody thinks they're super saints. They're not super saints. They're like Elijah. They're just men and women all over the place. There's nothing spiritual about us other than Christ in us. And if we start pretending, telling everybody how spiritual we are, and I read my Bible, and I pray, and I witness, and I do all this, and I'm standing for, careful, careful, careful. Next thing you know, some preacher like me come along, put you on the list. I had a friend who, they're not there anymore. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands. Well, my goodness, time's running out. Let's go to Jude, verse 24. Last book before Revelation, Jude. Book of Jude, any chapter, verse 24. Some of you will get that as soon as you get there. Look at verse 24. Now unto him who is able to keep you from, there it is, falling. And to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power both now and forever. What's my point? Here is someone who is able to keep you from falling. The question is, do you want to be kept from falling?
Amen.
That's the question. Or are you outwardly presenting yourself as a spiritual person and inwardly you're on that stupid internet night after night? You're doing things you ought not be doing. On the outside, everybody thinks you're such a great Christian. On the inside, you default to all kind of idolatry and wicked things and wicked thoughts. And you're not, listen, you had better take heed. I'm telling you. I'm telling you because I know my own heart. Deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Only God can know it. And you and I must not think that we are the exception. We are not the exception. We fall into that category just like everybody else. There's only one that can keep you from falling. 2 Peter chapter 1. Quickly run out of time. 2 Peter chapter 1. Look at verse 10. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. If you can't turn there, just listen. I'm moving on here. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never what? Fall. Stumble. Listen, when you're an obedient Christian walking with God, you're okay. When you think you stand, when you think you're okay, when you say, oh, I've got that, I know that lesson, I've got that one down pat, I know that verse, I can quote that verse, I'm good to go, be careful. Be careful. The devil can't get in the front door, he'll come in the back. He can't get in the back door, he'll break in a window. You are vulnerable. The warning is lights are flashing, bells are ringing, flags are flying. Take heed, take heed, take heed. One last verse, Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. And notice verse 14. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ, Romans 13, 14. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. As soon as you say, I'm strong, I'm mature, I'm not afraid, I got good morals, I got a great testimony at my church. I got a great fellowship with other Christians. You got eye problems? That's serious. Make no provision for the flesh. When you get up in the morning, you thank God that you slept through the night. Do you commit the day to Him? Do you say, Lord, I'm going to miserably fail today if you don't go with me? I'm going to trip every step. I have nothing to offer you, but I'm available. Would you help me today? Help me to be strong in the Lord, not in myself. Help me not to put myself, make no provision for the flesh. Lord, help me not say anything today I shouldn't say, go anywhere I shouldn't go, think anything I shouldn't think. Lord, I don't want to make any provision for the old life. I don't want to stumble today, but I wouldn't be so foolish as to say, I'm okay. I have a good standing. I'm in the right place with God. I'm strong. I wouldn't have any confidence for that. I think I'd have to say, well, Paul, I am what I am by the grace of God today. Please listen to me in closing. For those of you who think you are okay, take heed. Take heed. Some people think they're saved. They're not even saved. They're religious. They're trying to work their way to heaven. They're not going to make it because they've never humbled themselves and said, I can't do it. I'm lost. I'm doomed. And Christ is my only hope. Do you think you stand? Take heed. You will fall. You will. Without the Lord. Let's pray. Father, it scares me to even preach this sermon for fear that I might think because I've preached a sermon, I'm doing okay. And I know strength does not come from preaching sermons or attending meetings or saying how good I am or how committed I am or how spiritual I am. That's not where our strength comes from. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Be strong in the grace of God. And so, Father, please speak to all of our hearts. We all need this message. I include myself in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.